You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Housing affordability in the U.S. is about to get even worse. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. There are some 40 million homes across the country which are paying insurance premiums that are lower than what is needed to cover the amount of risk they face from climate change. And so, a new report says, a price correction is coming, and it will make homes unaffordable for many current homeowners, let alone future ones. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here to explain. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So we generally assume insurers are pretty good at pricing risk. So why are they off? What's going on here?
Yeah, so this report is from the First Street Foundation. That's a nonprofit that researches the intersection of climate change and the real estate market. And it finds that there are two factors at work. One is regulatory. The obvious example in California, where I am, two major insurers in the last 12 months have pulled out because the state limits how much you can raise premiums. That's masked the risks, according to the report. The second issue is the increasing frequency of natural disasters, and predictive modeling has sometimes failed to incorporate the types of structures at risk, what they're made of. And that's what's starting to change and change the outlook.
What does this mean in terms of homeownership, housing affordability in the years to come?
Yeah, in up to about 30 years from now, what the report says is that if insurers' costs are now artificially low, when and if that changes, it's going to either reduce the values of these homes, make people move altogether, or cause more people to skip disaster insurance. And that raises a whole other set of problems. We've already seen huge premium increases in many markets, often doubling in price. And the report says we should expect those trends to continue.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This week, we are looking at tipping and how norms and practices around that have been changing here in the U.S. But how we do things is not how everyone does things. And so today, we're taking a peek at how a debate over tipping is unfolding for a longtime U.S. ally, South Korea. South Korea is one of many places around the world where you are not expected to leave a tip. Sinyoung Gyeong is a reporter for our news partners at the BBC based in Seoul. And she spoke with my colleague, David Brancaccio.
The U.S. has a tradition of tipping, and restaurants is the first place you think of, at least for good service in some settings. Now, this is not true in South Korea. You don't tip?
Well, David, Korea has been quite keen on adopting customs from the United States, but tipping is probably the last thing they want from America. When you go out for a meal here, you just head to the counter, settle your bill, and guess what? The bill shows only the meal prices. It's actually against the law for the restaurant to list extra charges like VAT or service fees separate from the food prices. In other words, if a meal costs $100 and the owner wants to include, let's say, a 10% service charge, they have to give you a final bill for $110 and cannot force you to pay a tip on top of that. Beyond this legal stuff, it's also kind of cultural thing as well. Koreans feel that it's the employer's responsibility, not the customers, to pay their workers fairly, especially with the recent major improvement of the national minimum wages, which is around $7.5. Many people here think that restaurant workers are already quite well covered. Also, they benefit from relatively decent social welfare system, including universal healthcare. So public feel that there's not much urgency to tip restaurant workers.
Would you say, Sin Young, that it might even be a little insulting if a U.S. traveler were in South Korea and tried to tip?
In general, people feel slightly awkward to receive cash and money for doing their own work here.
In fact, you've been talking to some restaurant workers in South Korea, and this is what you found, right?
Yes.
My name is Jong Choi Lee. I run the Tteokbokki restaurant in Seoul. Tipping could potentially have a negative impact on customer service culture here. If tipping becomes the norm and isn't mandatory, customers who don't tip might be at a disadvantage.
Sin Young, any move in South Korea for change, I mean, from restaurants or maybe other types of companies who wouldn't mind importing this tradition of allowing customers to tip?
Well, last month, Koreans answers to, let's say, Uber, Kakao Mobility, try something new by asking passengers to give voluntary tips to their drivers. But quite unexpectedly, this small change is set up quite a big argument with people debating whether Korea should introduce a tipping. The result was only about 1 out of every 6 people support the tipping. But when it comes to restaurants, there are some exceptions as well. For instance, in fancy Japanese restaurant that offer all-you-can-eat style tuna sashimi, tipping between $8 and $40 is normal and expected to incentivize the chef to serve you with a better quality tuna. But I think it's more about probably unique social stuff here. South Korea is quite big on group dining. So in those fancy establishments, the senior person in the group might throw a tip to show off their authority or generosity.
The BBC's Sin Young Jeong speaking with us from Seoul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that was Marketplace's David Brancaccio there. Our producers are James Graham, Ollie Dalbert-Hansen, Nick Perez, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.